You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Look like, would it just be like, where would the moose be on the country of Finland? Where would it, like, what's the point, literally, what's the point of entry here?
I would love to see your search history.
I don't know what that bay is called.
I can't hear you.
I'd love to see your search history, Rudo.
Let's pull it up right now. No. Welcome in.
If you were a moose going DMVR to penetrate Finland, where
Avalanche
would you be?
Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. My search history is pretty normal. Avalanche schedule, NHL, 10-minute mail, and then it's anime, Kakko no Inazuke.
Okay.
P.S. Weird show.
And what's this bump?
Avs win 5-1 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yahir's like rocking out over there. I don't even.
Oh,
is the music jamming? Yahir's just jamming music to our insane conversation. Look, it's party time for real. That was a fantastic game, top to bottom, from Colorado. They dominated. They get to 6-4-1. You feel like they're finally rolling into the season, as they get 4 days off. But it felt good. It felt like the real Avs showed up for this one. I told Megan she has to do the 60-second rundown. So
I don't know if it'll be 60 seconds. I think it will be.
Good luck.
Okay.
No pressure. 3, 2, 1.
I did take notes. Less than a minute in, and up the board play, like AJ talked about yesterday, granted Colorado a 2-on-run rush. McKinnon patiently waited, passed to LeKinnon. LeKinnon gets him on the board first. Sam Girard holding call leads to a power play goal against, but Avs are outshot in that period but create more high-danger chances and overall have a solid, pretty dominant period. I thought he had some great shifts in the first, but a great puck movement from Mac and Makar, and Makar rips the puck to the boards from behind the net, and Kaut collected it and angled it in early in the second to give them the what would be the game-winning goal. A couple minutes later, Makar sent a wrist shot at the top of the left circle through traffic, and I think OC got the last tip in on that one. And not to be outdone, 38 seconds later, Taves, another similar up-the-board play, created this chance through the neutral zone. McKinnon with speed, patiently waited. Two Columbus defenders, Taves hammered that pass in. It was an excellent second period overall, except for McDermott in the fight. That was just a little bit weird for me. Then in a minute 36, oh man, I'm so sorry. I didn't even get to the third.
Keep
period.
Going.
You finish.
Right, keep going.
Finish. Minute 36 into the third, good puck movement again, starting with Kaut. Shot, that rebound goes to a Columbus skater, but he sticks, checks him to take it away. Rodriguez, new hook, great pass from Rodriguez, fired it in from the left circle. 5-1, Avs win, sweep Columbus in the global series.
Bam.
Let's go.
You get a 20 extra seconds because Finland or something. I don't know.
The time difference.
I'm just excited. Like, I want to talk about, actually, there's a whole segment in this podcast for what I want to talk about.
Is that segment right now?
No, it's the king of the game.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, we'll get this there. Game means
we'll get
to
there.
Martin Kaut.
Before we get to the king of game, let's start with the topical. The Avs started off with the Finn, Lehkonen getting his on the board, and a topic that's going to come up a lot. It's already came up. We talk about it in the pregame. Almost every dude who you felt like you'd like to see them get going has gotten going in Finland. Lehkonen being one of those guys. Avs had a lot of odd man rushes tonight. I'm curious where you guys give the credit there. Is it just Avs are good hockey, Columbus bad? Were Columbus's legs tired? What did you see causing those odd man rushes?
I think it touched on what AJ talked about in the pod yesterday about how the Avs are able to create action on the rush from within their own zone by playing the puck on the half wall up the boards, and they just utilize the advantage that they have with their speed. And this is where I began to see these systems that have worked for them throughout last season really work for them in tonight's game. You know, that's something that I just thought they did well tonight.
No doubt.
What's up?
There is not a lot of bad to talk about in this hockey game.
Is there any bad? Other than maybe Cogliano's
injury,
status of health?
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up a goal. That's not that bad, but it's not a good thing that they got scored on.
I mean, it's a phantom penalty. They get scored on a tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with the goal that they gave up. I get the phantom penalty thing. I also get that Josh Manson elbowed Sean Corrali in the face and went uncalled, so whatever. But
were there any penalties the rest of the game?
I don't think there were any, actually, now that you say that.
Just the matching fighting.
Yeah. So they made up a call.
And that was it.
Well, it looked like Columbus might get run again.
And Gary Bettman got on the phone and was like, stop.
It's hammer time.
Put those whistles away.
They had mimosas and something happened to them.
Maybe.
I'm not on edibles. It was mimosa day at the bar.
Yeah.
You look at this game, and the first period was probably the Avs' worst period of the game. But that's not to say that it was a bad period.
Yeah,
as Megan said.
You're tied in shots and you're
outchanced them pretty easily.
Outchanced, yeah. I think they were like down one shot.
Quality of chances is certainly superior. So
yep.
Yeah.
That's your worst period. Yeah. You probably had a pretty good game.
It's
exactly.
So good.
Not too bad. I do want to give credence to, on the whole of this game, Avs depth scoring from everywhere. Lekkonen's not really depth, but after that, you have Kaut, you have Logan O'Connor, you end up with Newhook, and then the fifth one
defense
was a defenseman goal.
Yeah, Devon Taves got his first of the season.
Yep.
So.
Great goal.
Yep.
I don't know. For all of the issues the Avs have had with their holes in their lineup or whatever so far this season, there were none of them. Beyond that, you were something like halfway through the third period and they'd given up less than 20 shots on goal to Columbus. Now that number ballooned with score effects a little bit at the end of the game, but this felt a lot more like the Colorado Avalanche who just go out and dominate the puck. So it's really hard for me not to feel very good and to think that you're going to start seeing more of this as the season continues.
Well, when you really go back over the course of the last three games, okay, they have the ugly game in Jersey where both teams sort of sleepwalk to a 1-0, like, well, we both participated kind of game.
Yeah.
And then you have the 3-0 lead against the Isles that you blow. And, like, that was our takeaway. But there were times in that Islanders game where you're like, wow, these look like the Avs.
Yep.
And they blow that lead and it
unsteady
becomes what it
for
does.
Sure.
It becomes what it did, and then you get the first game yesterday where it's again 3-0 lead, and you're like, "These are the Avs. Look at them go!" They blow that lead, and then show back up.
They turn it back on.
Oh,
yeah.
These are the Avs. And then today, you
from
can see it
more
building.
Start to finish. Yeah.
You can see it building where the first period you're like, "Oh, these are the Avs," and they give up the one PK goal.
Yep.
And at even strength are easily the better team.
Yep.
And then for the next two periods, just proceed to dominate that game.
Yep.
Like, I read a bunch of numbers to you guys. I wish we had time-stamped it because Columbus...
I don't know that they could even hear you, but...
Well, Columbus, like, score affected...
A lot of those,
at the end and, like, came back and the volume... But, shots to make themselves feel a
little
bit
better.
Point
in the third period,
but
chances at 5-on-5 were like 17-3.
Yeah, it was completely dominant by the Avs, where there might have been, you know, going in 4-1, they've blown 3 goal leads in their last two games, so you're not comfortable. Then they get the fifth goal, and then they give up nothing meaningful for the rest of the game.
Yep.
Where you were just like, this is the Avs team that we saw last year.
Yep.
They got scoring all throughout their lineup. The top line imposed its will. It got good goaltending. And then their defense just settled in and just took over.
A defense without Bo Byram. I think the depth scoring really solved a lot of the problems we had some concern with applying pressure, because you look at the shot distribution and even just the distribution in time on ice, and it was so much better distributed throughout every player in the lineup, to include the guy, like everybody hit double digits tonight in time on ice. And I think this alleviated a lot of the pressure off of a 23-minute Evan Rodriguez, who played something closer to 15 tonight. And I think that's the way that it should be, especially throughout what is going to be a long season.
Yeah, and it's easier to distribute minutes when you have a 4-1 lead, for
the majority of the game.
You get into the third period and you're just like, just roll them. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. Just flowing over the boards and nothing changes. So that's, I do think that that's one. That helped, but they did. Like, I mean, they put themselves in a position where Bednar was comfortable doing that, and that's great for all those guys. It's great for the lower lineup guys who got a little bit more burning. You know, 4 minutes left in the game, you see Mikhail Maltsev hustling down the ice and out and working hard, and takes a big hit for his troubles, but, you know, puts himself into that position, is working hard, and you get to see a little bit more out of those guys that we were saying, hey, give some of these guys a look. Like, come on. Stop playing Evan Rodriguez 23 minutes. Like, knock it off.
And a couple specifics on the time on ice for players. Not a single forward hit the 20-minute mark. Alex Newhook played 16:30, actually pushing up towards more of a second-line center level of minutes. Martin Kaut played 14:11. We'll talk about him more later. All over the lineup. JT Compher, 16:46. Logan O'Connor, 15 minutes. Yes.
Coming into this weekend, if I would have said, is there a better chance that Martin Kaut hits 20 minutes across two games or 10?
10.
Oh, yeah.
You 10. Said 10.
Which one's likelier? He doesn't even get to 10 or he gets to 20? We would have gone with that first option.
Yeah. Yep.
The fact that it ended up the second option is only good news for Martin Kaut. And the Ants, honestly.
For sure. And it's incredible how much any sport, but especially professional sports, is just affected by confidence. You take someone like Alex Newhook, he gets one goal against the Islanders that means nothing, but all of a sudden, he's like, oh, right, I can do this.
And we said, this should be good.
Yep.
We'll see how he responds.
And now, confirmed.
Three points in three games.
Right.
The confidence is starting to build for him.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, he just can't be streaky now, because that's the thing that's kind of keeping him from being that true second-line player. Is
for sure.
You can't be streaky. And obviously, still young, still figuring it out, but he's got to be a point per game or close to it, if he can be, for the Avs.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably even take a 0.5 points per game.
Yeah.
I think every other game, if he gives you a point,
probably like it to be a little higher than that, but you would live with it.
Yeah. After nothing.
Yeah.
Through 8 games, you're like, okay. And I can already hear the critical side of that is the goal against the Islanders game made it 5-4 and with 30 seconds to play. Didn't matter.
Sure.
The assist he had is a nice assist. It's the first goal of the game. It matters.
Yep.
And then he scores the fifth goal on a 5-1 win. So you're talking about two goals, low leverage, low pressure, don't really matter, but get out of here with that.
They just blew 2-3 goal leads.
Like, you can't whine about a guy not producing and then whine about when he produces.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed on that. On the whole, really just a fantastic game for Colorado. AJ said it. There really aren't very many negatives to take.
Can you find one other than
They got a goal scored
Byram
against them?
Byram didn't play, and Nichushkin didn't play.
That's like, not even part of the game, like, though, really. Yeah.
Health continues to be an uncertainty.
There's a very real possibility they just go from Cogliano to Darren Helm on that bottom six, whatever you want to call it. But we'll see. We'll get to those things over the next 4 or 5 days as the Avs get back into town. For this game, in a vacuum, I genuinely don't know what to say beyond, yeah, the Avs are just a better hockey team than what we saw out of Columbus.
Yeah.
Getting into the second period, the Avs really took over this game for the entirety of the second period, but the scoring came in bunches for them, right? It was three goals in like
4 minutes.
Was it 4 minutes? I was going to say 3.5 minutes or something, something like that. Yeah.
I know for sure it was four. So,
okay. So, somewhere in there.
I'll check.
And, it, you know, I don't want to say it was like a weight off their shoulders or anything like that, but for a team that we've seen, particularly in the second period, kind of lose it at times.
Yeah. Basically 3.5.
3.5, okay. It was nice to see the scoring come and then the Avs stay up.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between the 2 second periods of this weekend, right?
Yep.
Is like the first game, it was just a parade to the penalty box. Like,
yeah, that's
it was,
true.
It was awful to see. And like, you're not going to be productive when you're doing that thing and you're getting upset and you're taking penalties and it just doesn't work out well for you.
Yeah.
The difference is what they did today. Which is just dominated the second. They basically ended the game in the second period today.
I think dominate's a good word for it.
And we'll get to the goals in a second. I just wanted to give some credit to the Avs on the defensive side. We've seen a lot of frustration from the fan base of, hey, the Avs are really struggling to get out of their own zone at times this year.
Yeah.
There was none of that in the second period.
No.
It was, they get the puck, it's going the other way. Columbus is getting nothing.
Yeah.
Easy life.
Well, Megan, 17-4 in shots.
Yeah.
29-9 in shot attempts. 16-3 scoring chances and 7-1 high danger chances in the second period.
Not bad.
Goals 3-0 for the Avs.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
I mean, that's a shit kicking.
Yeah.
Not a single part of that do you feel good about if you're Columbus.
Yeah. And Megan, you touch on it. It's like that transition game was there today. You saw it. It was quicker. It was faster. It wasn't, you know, just trying to move the puck around to find some guy open. They were moving the puck up the ice quickly. Like, the transition game was on point in the second period.
Okay. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of GNBR. You can get it at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you. Or come on down to the DNVR bar. You can get 8 different kinds on tap here at the bar. Nuggets are doing their party bus today.
Yeah, their takeover is coming up.
Nothing official, but there's an Avs one in the works for December, so
we think.
Start preparing. There will be one, if not in December, we'll have one in January. Yeah. So start preparing for that. It's coming along.
Definitely in the works.
So make sure you're ready to go and drink a bunch of Breck Brews with us. We're also brought to you by Game Time. If you're not on the party bus and you're looking for tickets to the game, Game Time can get you up to 60% off of the regular prices. Over 15 million people have used it. You can go down into the description of this video and click the link to get Game Time right now. When you do, that helps us out a little bit too, so be sure to use that link to let Game Time know we're sending you over there. I don't know that you could have got a good price on the tickets to the games in Finland. That would have been tough. But with them coming back to Colorado, you can get some great tickets at Ball Arena, Lower Bowl, really nice for great prices. So be sure to go check it out. Look at that. Yahir's going straight into the Colorado Avalanche tickets, showing you how to do it. They even got the whole bowl section to show for you where you can get your tickets. They show you the shots of what the seats look like. Game Time, go check them out.
It's greatly appreciated. If you've never been to a venue, for real. Like, what am I looking at here? And getting an idea of it is
that's how you become the guy at Fenway who got the ticket behind the pillar, and you're like, oh, great.
How obstructed is obstructed?
Right.
Oh, I see.
Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Second period of this game.
Can we, real quick, are we talking about Nicholas Aube-Kubel if this game is yesterday?
No, I don't think at all.
And he got picked up today, too.
It ended up not mattering, but yeah. I think it's an easy no. I think it's an easy no anyway, but it was. Is anyone even mentioning that they should claim him if this game was yesterday's game?
I do wonder how many claims got put in on him.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity. Couldn't have been that many because Washington would have to be reasonably down.
Yeah, they're
the
not.
List.
They're pretty something like 20th or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, what ends up being the game-winning goal comes from a shift where Martin Kaut out there with McKinnon and the big guns. Is it a pretty goal? I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
Sure, it's a pretty goal.
I mean, for him, the rest of the play is Cale Makar completely botching a shot.
It's a backhand. Recognizes that the goalie's backs to him.
There's no angle, and it's a backhand that he just has to throw on net.
From Kaut, it's great. The rest of the play leading up, kind of a mess.
Broken hockey.
For sure.
But
it's what good teams do, though. I mean,
you're not wrong.
You make hay.
They all count the same.
I mean it's kind of a junker of a goal. Like on a career highlight reel of the I think three goals that Kaut has now scored in the NHL.
He's a two or three, it's not many.
I think that's probably the least impressive of them. But so what?
Yep.
That's the kind of hardworking he goes to the net, he puts himself in position to be able to make that kind of play, and then he makes it. So Yahtzee.
I liked it. Before the failed Cale Makar shot, it was a Kaut shot on that rebound. Goes to Columbus Skater. He is hard on the puck. Gets the puck back. I think it's Rodriguez who picks it up to Makar. Makar botches it. It's opportunistic. I really liked it.
Well, yeah. I mean, take that from the couch.
From the couch.
Look at me. I'm fucking agreeing with you.
I think
shit, man.
The key part of it for Kaut specifically is the execution, though, right? As a person who's trying to earn more ice time on this hockey team, opportunities like that have to be finished. You don't get that many of those.
He gets a break.
Yeah.
The break that he got is the break that he didn't get yesterday on the tip.
Where it hits the post and out.
Well, it hits the post and the goalie twice and doesn't go in his way.
Yep.
And then he gets the stick in behind and just barely misses it.
The thing that you'll never know about this goal is, was it intentional or wasn't it? Are you seeing that the goalie's out of position? You're just throwing it, knowing that you're going to hit the back of him, and there's a good chance.
No way. He's the type of dude that would tell you. I bet if Jesse went and asked him right now, he'd say,
I want to know.
I just threw it
at the net. Yeah.
I got lucky.
Because there's a lot of times where you see the back of the goalie, and you shoot the puck at it, because you know it's going to pop in. Yeah. So, you know, you never know.
I would be surprised if that was on purpose, but if it is, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Go get it. And that's the goal that I think really kind of set the Avs off into never looking back on this hockey game.
Yeah.
Give
them that extra layer of like.
All of a sudden, it was every single shift from them of like, okay, we're going to go out and beat these guys. That comes 3 minutes later. It's a nice tip. It is officially going to Logan O'Connor at this point. Nice to see. And Makar wasn't perfect tonight. There were still some of the weirdness with him skating and pucks getting away from him at times. But you can tell. Another guy where it's like, okay, he's confident again.
Well, the offensive side, you're seeing it, right? Like, I think that side's clicking for sure. It's just a little bit on the defensive stuff where you're seeing, like, misreads and kind of just a little bit of panic in his game, which I think is just going to be cleaned up. It's Cale Makar. There's no concern there, but there's something about the first 12 games of the season.
No concern.
I mean, he did have a 3-point
night. That's what I'm saying.
There's
no concern, but there is issues with the defensive side of the game right now.
Yeah.
But no concern about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more silly just like, just fix him, dude.
No concern.
You're not worried about it, but he can play better.
Yeah.
And we're talking about like, oh, like Cale Makar, like, hey, he's only been okay or whatever. And you're like, well. Another 3 points.
Look at the score sheet all of a sudden. 3 points.
All right.
Last two games, I would say he's been more than okay.
Yeah.
Where you look at, you're like, all right, that's a lot more.
Yep.
The superhuman shit. Yep, that's what we're used to.
Yep.
That's the standard that we have for you, Kale.
And
none of this plain Jane, oh, I had an assist in 22 minutes. Ooh, big guy. I want 3 assists in 3 minutes. Yeah. Every game.
And
that's what I'm after.
Well, and look, the Avs got exactly what they wanted out of their top pairing tonight, too, right? A 3-point night for Makar, a 2-point night for Devon Taves.
You get 5 points.
I'm concerned.
5 points out of your defense yet again.
Yep.
After coming, I think they got 5 points out of your defense yesterday.
That is so true, yeah.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Okay, Dad.
So we talked about that secondary scoring, and we've talked a lot about how Colorado's defense is really their true second line in terms of points. And again, 5 points from the defense yesterday, 5 points from the defense today. Oh, look.
They win games when that happens.
They scored 11 goals in 2 games.
Funny how that works.
Wow.
Well, again, I don't want to talk us in circles too much. Tave's first goal of the year.
Yeah.
Another guy who gets to come out of Columbus feeling better than the way they came in.
Yeah.
So, and everything's coming up avalanche
over
at the moment.
Over this 2-game, over the global series, you get the first. Newell gets his first assist, his second goal. Rodriguez gets like a handful of assists.
Yep.
Before he had none. JT Confer gets his first goal. You get 2 goals out of Logan O'Connor. You get a goal and an assist out of Martin Kaut.
Yep.
Devon Taves gets his first goal. Like you're talking about all of it. This is how the team's supposed to work.
Yep.
This is what they're supposed to look like when it's operating the way that. Like that. This is the plan here, is that your defense chips in offensively, led by Makar and, you know, to a lesser extent, Devon Taves.
Yep.
But then your top line dominates, scores once or twice. In this case, scored and scored and scored.
Kept scoring. Still scoring.
They still might be scoring right now. and then your secondary guys do, and they're different. Yep. It's not one guy. It's not Nazem Kadri. It's not Andre Burakovsky.
It's everybody. Yeah.
It's all of those guys. They all did it together. They all did it as a group. And that's where you're just looking at it, and you're like, that's what your depth scoring is supposed to look. It's not comp for every game. It's not new look every game. But it's every game a different guy is doing it.
Yep.
Different guy is getting there. Different guy is getting those looks. I mean, Jacob McDonald had a partial breakaway. Curtis McDermott had one of the best scoring chances
on the back
game.
Door.
Like, it could have been even worse.
I thought he was going to score.
I didn't. I was not high enough for that. When you saw it was 56, you were like, oh, is this even going to be on net?
It just felt like he had a lot of net to shoot at.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't hit it.
Yeah.
Well,
he hit the goal.
Yeah, center mass.
That's the problem, right?
Might have been more wear and tear on that logo than on his actual pads in this game.
And look, great period. The Avs popped off. You're super happy with it. You get into the third period, and you see exactly what you want to see. Some stability.
Yeah.
They come out, and they continue playing the same way.
It's boring.
Yep.
It's nothing. Oh, they've got the puck again. Oh, they've dumped it in. Oh, they're through the neutral zone again. Oh, Columbus can't do shit.
And that leads us to the fifth goal, which, yes, it makes it 5-1, but I think it also exemplifies everything that worked for the Avs in this game. Depth guys get in, get a decent opportunity, don't score, but create second-chance opportunities by just straight-up outworking Columbus. Obviously, Martin Kaut was great. You get the work around him. I saw a chat talking about it. Are we ride or die now with this new hook count E-Rod line?
It was their best line of the game. Two Avs finished above 80% Corsi, and two of them came from that line.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Count and Rodriguez, your highest Corsi guys on the day.
He was good yesterday, too. Count.
Yep.
His possession.
I mean, how would you break it up when they're producing points?
We're kind of expecting Nuke to be back for their next game, so.
I just don't know if you mess with it, though.
Just make it work.
Yeah.
Stick them together. I'm down. You don't have to convince me.
Man, those last couple of minutes really salvaged Columbus.
Where they put,
in
like,
terms of saving face
10
here.
Shots on the, in those last 4 minutes. Yeah.
They had 20 shots on goal.
Yep.
They had 20 shots on goal with about 8 minutes to go, and they finished with 32.
Yep.
Like just helps out the numbers of the goalie.
Yeah, well, like those, like that little stretch right there, it really kind of, because if you just look at the box score and you say, oh, the Avs gave up another 32.
Yeah.
They put 45 on this time, but how it went.
Right.
They
absolutely trashed.
They had given up Columbus. 17 through two periods, and it was 4-1.
Trashed Columbus.
And the key, one of the key numbers there is, sure, they gave up 32 shots, but the high danger chances, even from last game against Columbus, way down.
Yep.
They weren't giving up all those grade A's right in the middle of the ice.
Almost
and there were a few.
Non-existent,
but, yeah.
to be honest with you, because this game, the Avs had a 36-15 scoring chance advantage.
That's pretty good.
18-5 in high danger chances.
That's really good.
5 is a really, really good number defensively. 18 might be the best number that they put up offensively all year.
Yep.
That is an astronomical number.
Georgie finishes with a 9.969.
Just another day at the office, man. That guy is...
I mean, it's just gone up.
He's locked in.
Yeah.
You know that there's going to be a blip, and you're hoping that, like, yesterday is what that blip looks like, where he looked like he fought the puck a lot.
Yeah.
It was just okay.
The rebounds were springy. Yeah.
He gives up one iffy goal and then two goals where you're like, come on, what are you asking of the guy here?
It's such a different style. Like, when you watch him play, it's the calm hockey back there. It's not a lot of crazy rebounds where you're concerned about what's going on. It's just a nice, relaxed game from your goaltender.
So fascinating, the styles going from Grubauer to Kemper. Yeah.
Yes.
To Georgiev, where they're all distinctly different. Grubauer, he couldn't handle any chaos.
Yep. It had to be where one-to-one.
It was where it was positioning and it was reading the ice. Those were his best strengths. And then Kemper
just scramble master.
technique goes out the window so quickly with Kemper, but puck's right around him.
Yep.
He just hunts him so well. He sees the puck, he picks it up, and it wasn't so much that he thrived in chaos, but he could handle it.
Yeah.
And he was so big that
a lot of stuff just hits him. Yeah.
A couple of saves where it was like, just throw my body out there and hope they hit it. And they'd hit it a lot. But Georgiev, it's like a weird combination of the two.
Yeah, I agree.
Where he can do things, he can let his just raw athleticism will make a couple of saves. And you see the push side to side.
Yeah.
Where he made one push yesterday, where I was like, Jesus, dude.
Well,
he goes all the way across.
From outside of the post to outside of the other post.
Where you're like, most goalies, you're like, can he get across in time? And with Georgiev, you're like, he's too far over. Like, if a guy just waits him out, he's just going
to
slide
it into
off the angle.
Yeah, cuts back to the middle there.
Yeah, and that's, that's where his athleticism is a change from Kemper and Grubauer, because he has that just God-given, he can just
athletic
do some
ability,
things
yeah.
physically that those guys couldn't do. But then you add in, he reads the play pretty well.
Yep.
He's tracking it. When he's tracking it, you can see. Because it's quiet.
Things are hitting
boring.
Him in the chest. Yep.
Well, it's the breadbasket, right? Like, everything's just a dead puck.
Yep.
But he's also big enough that he could make that emergency shoulder save when a guy goes high on him and he's already committed. And it's really, he's been just really, really impressive so far. Like, an 11-game MVP.
Yeah. Easily. Still super small sample size.
You're
but.
Still talking about Georgiev here as, like, he's been that caliber of guy for them. And this is, 8 out of the 11 starts he's gotten?
Yeah, because Frankie's 0-3.
And he is 6-1-1?
I think 6-2. No, it would have to be 6-1-1,
So 6-1-1.
Yeah.
And his save percentage is going to go up today. So he's going to be in like the 925, 930 range whenever the stats get updated. We'll see. But, I mean, you can't ask for more out of Alexander Georgiev here to start the year.
Yep.
Absolute nails here.
Yep.
We were talking about him on opening night. Like, he gives up two goals on like 17 shots. And we're like, we'll see. He didn't really have much of a workload. Since they've given him plenty of workload, he's responded brilliantly.
All right. Well, if you have a large workload in the kitchen, Hassel Cattle Company is the meat for you. Go to HasselCattleCompany.com, use code DNVR to get 20% off your order. You can order right now online and get it shipped directly to your door. Their meats are amazing. You genuinely just have to try them. I know we talk about the Wagyu all the time. Their steaks are also really, really good. Their ribeye, mwah, absolutely delicious. You cannot get enough of it. Trust me. You're going to want it. AJ, you're the fan of the steak and eggs, yeah? Did you get it again today?
I did.
Fire?
Guess what? Still good.
P.S. DNVR has a brunch menu now.
Is this a permanent brunch menu?
It, for brunch things, yeah.
Yes!
Great.
No, we're sticking with brunch.
Brinner?
Yeah.
Is that breakfast for dinner?
Yeah.
Trying to stay hip here, guys.
That's not... It's not even a hip thing, man. That's a... Brinner's been... Man, I don't know.
It's been around forever?
It's been around for most... All right. Of my adulthood,
okay,
I'll say.
Okay.
Are you about it, Blaze? For real, for real? No cap?
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Put that away.
For real, for real. We're going to get into that space now. Yeah, no cap.
go check them out, hasslecattlecompany.com. Their meats are awesome. Also brought to you by Evoca TV. You can go to evoca.tv/DNBR to get hooked up today. Did you have trouble finding this game because it was on NHL Network? Evoca TV would have solved that because they have Altitude, where you can actually watch Avalanche hockey games. Just $25 a month. They also have exclusive access right now to DNVR's Serbia documentary from the Nuggets, who everybody says is amazing. It's kind of dope looking at the history of basketball in Serbia and how storied of a thing it is for them. Yeah,
it's a big deal.
It's a big part of their culture. So highly recommend you go check it out for that, if nothing else. Again, evoca.tv/DNVR to say whatever the fuck that means. On God. Third period of the drop your favorite Gen Z slang. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. This is the part of the show where I look at Megan and tell her to gush about Martin
Cowell.
Oh. Well, so I wanted to set the stage for what these games meant to him because of the role Columbus played in his season last year. Zach Werenski injured his shoulder, and that was the last game he played up with the Avalanche for the entirety of that season. That shoulder injury, when he finally healed, he was sent immediately back to the Eagles and would stay there for the rest of the season as a result of what Columbus did to him. And so it was sort of a revenge game for him, but also that shoulder injury gave him trouble with the Eagles at later points in the season too, so it wasn't just that for him. So I just felt like this was a statement weekend for Martin Cowell and his future, if there is one, as an NHL player, and it just couldn't come at a better time than in this weekend series against the Blue Jackets.
Would you say that Martin Cowell's game today was bussin'?
No.
Did it slap?
It was bussing, and it slapped.
No.
But it is a great point that, and I think a lot of people do feel like this is probably one of Kaut's last chances to really do this with Colorado. Through the start of this call-up, I think there were some good things. If you looked for it, you could find things you liked in Kaut's game. These last two games, it's been genuinely good.
It's been obvious.
Yeah.
You haven't had to work to...
Yeah.
But you're also not... What's a big difference in the last two games?
He gets more ice time with better players?
You're not revenge. Looking at four shifts. You're not looking at four shifts.
You get
and going,
9 minutes and then 14
here.
Minutes is
you're
what it ended
at,
up
you're
being.
You're looking
but.
At 10, 12 shifts where that's so different.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving a guy triple the opportunity.
A whole lot
here.
More to create a body of work with. Yeah.
And be like, okay, well, what's he doing shift by shift? If you have four of those things, what does any guy do? You can isolate four shifts from a bunch of different guys and be like, well, not a lot happened here.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm really like working hard to pull a good or a bad out of this. But when you give a guy, you give a guy some opportunity, like. He does something with it. Putting him on the PK might be the thing that we look back and say saved Martin Kaut's opportunity in Colorado. if this continues, if he continues to stay on the team and he proves worthwhile and blah, 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 you look at that opportunity, that one decision to put him on the PK to give him just that extra little opportunity to do something, because that's where he separated yesterday. Yep. And well, then he almost scored the goal early in the third.
Yep.
And he may not have gotten that shift in the third to start
without
the third,
good shift
without
on the PK,
the PK shift.
Yep, yep.
And then all of today, he puts him with some guys that have been playing pretty good hockey, a little more offensively oriented players that can actually do something in that zone, not JT Compher and Andrew Cogliano, who are struggling to generate chances on that side of the puck. You put him there and look at it. Like, he gives you a little something extra. It's just, it's so different. Just the opportunity, the decision to just give him that one little extra can make such a difference for a guy like that. And it's two games, you know? But you are also not looking at a body of work where you're like, it's two games, but he was so bad in these other games.
And
because he wasn't. And there are some bad metrics. Like, before the trip, his Corsi was like 36%
or whatever.
It was
quite bad. Now it's a lot better.
he would get four or five shifts in a game.
Yep.
One of them, they would get stuck in their own end.
And his Corsi on the night is 1-for-4.
Yeah. They give up five shot attempts in that one shift, and the other three shifts, they can't make up for it in that.
Yep. It's, and the thing with Kout is, I'm going to set aside the fact that Maltsev is a center for a second. I understand it's a more complicated conversation than I'm about to make it. But as guys start to get healthy, Martin Kout is battling for a spot against guys like a Dryden Hunt, against a guy like a Mikhail Maltsev. You know, we'll see with Cogliano's injury, that might open up some more space. But
Dryden Hunt,
he played better than all those guys.
Right, exactly. And
you want to talk about a guy that's done nothing.
Yep.
Dryden Hunt has not justified his claim in any way, shape, or form.
Donut holes everywhere.
It just bad.
It's very,
it's like 6 minutes, zeros.
Yeah,
it's weird, right? Because I do think he fits the Logan O'Connor mold, the guy that Bednar, you know, likes because he runs around with his hair on fire and runs into stuff. Yeah. Even if the actual impact there is, well, he's a half second late to every puck, so he's not doing anything. But with games like this, this is how Kout eliminates the possibility for Bednar to say, well, at least I know what I'm getting out of that guy. Because a game like this is just better than that for Martin Kout. So, is two games enough to cement him into the lineup indefinitely? Absolutely not.
No, it's
a great step towards getting there.
Well, and this is the game that should give him, we should be a no doubt he gets 9 or 10 minutes against Nashville. And look, if it goes really poorly, then all bets are off moving forward. But this is the best position that he's been in since that initial 9-game trial.
Agreed. And we didn't bring it up yet, but of course he's our king of the game.
We voted on this one.
Yep.
Normally, one of us just decides the king of the game.
Yep.
And we all just kind of agree, but we decided on this one. Makar had 3 assists. MacKinnon had 3 assists. Devontaeves had a goal and an assist. Those guys will all be king of the game later on in the year. Yeah. This might be our one chance to give it to Martin
Kout. Let Kout be the drip god for one night, all right?
No, drip daddy.
Drip daddy.
I did a poll on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Kout wasn't today. 97% said yes. 3% said no.
Those 3%.
Those are the boomers in our chat, confirmed.
He didn't get in a fight.
Technically, McDermott did, but we still didn't see one.
That was a lot of clutch and grabbing.
Yeah,
there.
It was a lot of aggressive hugging.
Yeah,
jab, 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 jab.
Not real punches thrown in that
weird fight.
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah,
it was boring.
Maybe I seemed calm, but McDermott seemed mad. Whatever he was saying to McDermott
after
was making him
too.
So upset.
After
he was
the fight,
probably
McDermott
saying it
was
French,
still
and McDermott
mad.
Got mad because he doesn't speak it. So he was like, "I know you're talking shit about somebody I know. Let's fight."
I know nothing.
I mean, it's just such a weird to see. The Avs are up 4-1 at the time. It's like,
what happened?
Yeah,
and it. I don't know that McDermott instigated the fight necessarily.
Let's engage in a thing that in theory, fires up the other
team. Right, yeah.
Like, yeah, let's do that.
Was it about the upending in the other zone? Because that happened, like, right before it. Was it McKinnon got upended in the,
the
offensive zone?
I'd honestly have to go back and watch.
I think it was McKinnon got upended behind the net.
Did not see anything.
And then it was, like, the next shift. So.
Well, it's in the neutral zone, and McDermott comes by and bumps. I don't know if it was Teixeira or who it was, but... And he just bumps him a little bit, and then Olivier just comes flying in. Like, I don't understand why, but yeah, like, I understand the Mac hit, but it, like, McDermott gave a guy a little bump, and it was Olivier who, like, jumped on McDermott for it, and then McDermott was like, well, if that's how you're gonna be, we're going. But
Olivier wanted a mustache ride. He kind of got one. All you big dog.
Yeah, the Avs win percentage with Pornbots is very, very high.
True.
The last loss that I remember was a preseason game.
Yeah.
I don't even know the last real game that they lost with Pornbots.
I'll start making a
counter. Great.
How many they win.
Perfect. These are real advanced statistics.
That's right.
Pornbot win percentages.
We really should have like a block of superstition stats.
Superstition stats.
Cogliano got the puck in a dangerous area, and everybody looked at Megan like, is this really about to happen?
We didn't get any super chats on the postgame show. I did forget about a couple on the pregame show. Just wanted to shout out our guy David from the East Coast who came out for yesterday's game.
One of our Connecticut fans.
Yeah.
We have like a weird contingent of the Connecticut homies.
My dad grew up in New Haven, so shout out Connecticut.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway, any final thoughts?
Nope.
Oh man, that's the best game of the year.
Yeah,
it was great.
After going into Finland, where you had to sit on two bad losses for 5 days,
the Islanders won. Yeah, especially you blow a 3-goal lead, and it goes the way that it goes, where you look awful doing it.
Now you get the opposite. Now you get 4 days off for the Avs, where they looked unbelievably good in this game, and you get to ride high.
Yeah. Yeah. That really mad guy that was tweeting at me after every Columbus goal yesterday, I have not heard from since the third Columbus goal yesterday.
It's been 24 hours. Yeah.
It's amazing, those guys.
Time to report him missing.
Amazing.
Anyway.
Yeah, Dallas. I think Dallas is for real. I think that's going to be my one. I went out on a limb for a team in the preseason and ended up right about
it's looking
them.
Dallas looks genuinely good.
Sounds just like my Buffalo bet.
I don't think St. Louis is as bad as they've looked, but it's going to be tough for them to get back
Buffalo
to relevance.
Was like, I wanted an excuse, but I kept looking at
you
their goalies.
Yeah, it's too hard. It's too hard.
I just don't think they
can hold up. Buffalo has done the have a good October thing
That's
before.
100% right. This is the year. This is the year. Mark my words.
I think what's different about them is you look at their roster and you're like, that's a good NHL player.
They're young.
NHL
they don't
player.
Know any better.
And it's not like Zemgus Girgensons having a 13-point month where you're like, you had 13 points last year. What's happening?
All right. Time to end the show for real. We're doing another show.
This was the worst bit.
We're doing another show tomorrow AF.
Best
so,
meme ever.
No cap.
Be sure to tune in.
Cap. I will not be on the show if the shit continues.
Keep it bussing this weekend. We love you all. We'll see you on the next one.
I'm going to murder him.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it
Miro? Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.